I invite you now to turn in your copies of God's Word to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. In your bulletins, you'll have a three-step path that I'll be taking. I just want to inform you, I've swapped the number one with two, vice versa. So you'll probably hear as I go through our sermon, we'll be looking first at how Christ in the Sabbath settles the debate, then how the Sabbath points to saving the broken, and then stretching out to all nations, all people. This is the second sermon we are looking at the Sabbath. Its part comes together with the preceding eight verses. So let's read what God has for us this morning in Matthew chapter 12, verse 9. It's God's word. He went on from there and entered their synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. He said to them, "Which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all and ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory. And in his name the Gentiles will hope." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray and ask for God's direction, guidance, and illumination. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Jesus, that you brought it to us through your spoken words, that you are the word. You are what reveals God to us. You have shown us a path of holiness, of light, of truth, a way that is abundant and overflowing with joy. And sometimes we miss that when we think about law, or when we contemplate how to activate or apply the Sabbath. And so I ask, oh Lord Jesus, that you will show us more about how you interact in the Sabbath, what you place importance upon, so that we ourselves may learn, and by your Holy Spirit, bring it to our souls, that you'd impress it upon our lives, and that we may live like you, Jesus, as sons of God. And that way we shall bring greater glory to your name. Show us that this morning, Lord, and bless these people and myself, all of us, to see and have more of you. In your great name I ask this. Amen. I've got to say that, if there is something I can't stand, it's the way that politicians fake care. I made that word up, but you know what I mean. It's the way politicians fake care about their constituents. It's those times, not all the times, but those times when politicians pretend to really be concerned for our well-being, but they're really not. Your mind may race to politicians kissing babies. Not too long ago, we saw that. Or visiting hospitals and cancer patients. The debates they have about what kind of children's or women's hospital to build, where to build it, even our issues with ambulance ramping, nurses' pay and conditions, to understaffed emergency departments that lead to long waiting periods. They say they're really concerned about our welfare, but they really don't care too much to spend the money on it. Those with authority sometimes over-police our lives and enforce some peculiar laws. They say it's for our good, but it's ultimately just posturing, politicking sometimes, more probably all the time. It's virtue signaling. It's not always the case, like I said, it's not always the case. In fact, some laws are good. But the way those with authority zealously enforce some laws, it leaves us scratching our heads. Do you remember about 4 years ago in 2021, nurses, doctors and surgeons were not allowed to treat patients unless they were vaccinated? It has since been revealed that government bureaucrats knew that the vaccine did not stop anyone from actually getting the disease or the virus, nor did it prevent transmission. Yet nurses, doctors and surgeons, our unvaccinated professional healers, were not allowed to treat the sick, the broken, the injured, and those unvaccinated. They wouldn't obey such a heavy-handed law. Then, just over a year after that, in late 2022, only 13 months almost to the day in 2022, the law was lifted. And our professional healers could then return to public hospitals. And they left us scratching our heads. Was that law taken too far? What should take priority, the law or to heal? Human need or bureaucratic law? The question that these professional healers had to answer was, is it lawful to heal the sick, the injured, the broken, while subject to a law that prohibits me from healing the sick? And it left us wondering. And it left us wondering with these dramas that if you are sick, if you are injured or you were in a car crash and you were broken with broken bones, would you care if your healer was vaccinated? If your healer would have to break the law to heal you, would you go to them to be healed if that meant breaking the law of the land? This is an old conundrum, one that Jesus was confronted with. Jesus, as the great healer, had this very problem. Jesus is being provoked by the enforcers of the law, the Pharisees. They have been following Jesus like a bad smell. They're like mosquitoes, flies, they're all over. And they're in a grain field. Out of all places, in a paddock, the disciples are just walking around plucking heads of grain and eating. And the Pharisees are there. They question Jesus. Is it lawful to pluck grain and then eat it on the Sabbath? Can we work to prepare food on the Sabbath? Can we work to or in service to God on the Sabbath? They were like over-policing the people, extrapolating the law of God, imposing heavy-handed laws, all in the name of God, but they're stretching God's law beyond its intent. The Pharisees, they enforced a law that stated that no one could heal on the Sabbath, because that would be work, and working was prohibited on the Sabbath. That is unless there was danger of life. From the grain fields, they follow Jesus into a synagogue. They're still with Jesus. They're harassing him. And the Pharisees motion to a man who has a withered hand. And they're trying to trap Jesus. Is it lawful, under our law of Sabbath, to heal today during the Sabbath? Is that lawful, Jesus, to heal? And Jesus, confronted with the dilemma, he reveals what God thinks about this law. Is it lawful to heal during the Sabbath, the day of rest? Or have they taken this too far? Hear now from the word of God. In verse 9 of chapter 12, he went on from there, so from the grain fields, and entered their synagogue. And a man was there with a withered hand, and they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. So Jesus moves from the outdoors into the places of worship in the synagogues. The Pharisees won't leave him alone, and they're with him. He's in their synagogue. And the debate that they started with Jesus outdoors now continues indoors in the synagogue. And there's a man within the synagogue with a withered hand. And we don't know exactly his condition. The word is he had a dry hand. It could have been atrophied, so he's got a dead limb. And that condition is very important for our story. It adds dimension to Jesus' dilemma. You see, the Pharisees are so stuck in this law-based culture that their only concern is this cold obedience. The motives are exposed by the subtlety in their exchange with Jesus. It's there. They want to know if it is lawful to heal. Even just asking the question, can I heal you on Sabbath? Because it's the law not to heal. But of course, they already know the answer, don't they? They have already established their laws. They asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him? The Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus with this. They believe that God, background is, they believe that God gave Moses an oral law. And later on, that oral law will be compiled into what has now become known as the Mishnah, the practical applications of the oral law of the Jews. And we can work out what the Pharisees believed about healing on the Sabbath by reading the Mishnah. And its contents automatically assumed, and so do the scribes and the Pharisees here, in the gospel stories, that healing is not allowed during the Sabbath. And the Mishnah only supplies the exceptions that might be permitted. So in Yoma 8:6 of the Mishnah, it says, and any matter of doubt as to danger to life overrides the prohibitions of the Sabbath. So this makes it more interesting, doesn't it? The Pharisees believe that there's no medical intervention that can be done on the Sabbath. No healing is permissible on the Sabbath unless there is a threat to the life. What will Jesus do? What would he do? It's so important to hear Jesus here and see what he does, because Jesus has just declared in a few verses behind us, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 6, I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. It's referring to himself. And the last statement Jesus declared to the Pharisees just before we come into the synagogue and while he's in the grain fields in Matthew 12, 8, that's the very last thing Jesus says. He says, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. This is important. So what would Jesus, as the Son of God, the Son of Man, Lord of the Sabbath, do on the Sabbath? Because this man with the withered hand, he's not in a life-threatened situation, is he? His hand is withered, but he's not dying. Jesus, to keep the peace and obey the law of the land, he knew the law of the land, he could have kept the peace. To keep the peace, he could have walked up to the man with a withered hand and whispered in his ear and said, hey, you're not dying, but to keep the peace, why don't you come to me tomorrow and I'll heal you? Or better yet, come to me when the sun has gone down and it's technically the Sabbath is over, I'll heal you then. However, there's more riding on this dilemma, you see. It's not about the law keeping for Jesus. It's about God's character revealed by the law. That's the drama. But by enforcing all these extra biblical laws, these Pharisees are misconstruing the character of God. They're imposing a misrepresentation of God. See what the Pharisees do? Under the guise of caring for souls, they impose heavy-handed laws. They are fake caring. Their concern is less about souls and more about maintaining authority or looking righteous or look what I do and you're doing the wrong thing, looking holy, but they're not really caring. They're fake caring against the fellow man. They are making the people focus upon the burden of the law, despising the law maybe, when they should be loving the law against God. They're hiding God's mercy behind the burden of the law when the law was supposed to lead them to the mercy of God. They're using the very thing that was supposed to expose mercy, the character of God, to hide the character of God. During the week in Bible study, I was asked an excellent question. How do you know if I'm clinging on too tight to a belief or a doctrine? The answer lies in how we handle God's revelation. When we use His word meant to unveil His goodness, to conceal His merciful character, when we use His very word to hide His goodness, we're holding on too tight. When we make the minor into the major, when we enforce rigid rules that misconstrue and we misrepresent the character of God by using His very own word when it's supposed to reveal the goodness of God, when we zealously pursue doctrine God never meant to burden anyone with, or to distract people by His law or with His law from His radiant glory. I'm holding on too tight in that moment. I'm holding on to a tradition when I obscure the goodness of God's true revelation. And so here's an insight for us, I guess, that we should examine how we live our lives. Especially mine. Starts with me behind the pulpit talking to you. Am I pushing people further away from God than closer to Him? Let it be not so with us, beloved. So what does Jesus say and do? Will He break the law of the land to heal? Will He heal a non-life-threatening condition when He knows full well what the law says? So Jesus uses their own law to expose the hypocrisy, and that's Him now settling the debate. Verse 11, He said to them, "Which one of you has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." The way that Jesus interacts with people, it gives us an influx, like a fire hydrant of glory come showering upon us. That, you know, it's like saying drink, and it's a fire hydrant pressure. There's so much here that Jesus is exposing with this little reality check. The first thing that Jesus shows us in these two little verses is which one of you is pushing us and is testing us. Own up, all of you. Which one of you will not help an animal in need? He's implying that everyone would. And the second thing that comes that is also implied is if they didn't help that animal, you know what they would be? Heartless. Merciless. And so the implication is that they're all going to help. We're all going to help an animal. And challenges us. He said, so you would all help an animal in need. That's the conclusion. Everyone would help an animal on the Sabbath. Then it's sort of like the stab in the heart. It cuts straight into you. Then isn't a man more valuable than an animal? Than a sheep? Leads us to the fifth way of thinking this through, which means if you help animals on the Sabbath and not your fellow man, this is what you think, that men and women are less valuable than animals to you. Yet God's greatest creation is man. You are not being good like God. So Jesus settles the debate in verse 12 then with a conclusion. So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Look at the subtlety. The Pharisees, that they're not seeking truth. They're wielding God's law like it's some kind of whip or a weapon, like some authoritarians with their fake care laws. Is this act lawful? They want to know, is the act lawful? They want to know if the act, if I heal that act, is that lawful? Is it lawful to do the act of healing on the Sabbath? And Jesus' answer is, you can't reduce God's laws to do's and don'ts. It's the revelation of God's character, love, grace, mercy, compassion, holiness, perfect justice. But it's not a reason to harm. What is lawful on the Sabbath is to do good. Is it lawful to heal? It's lawful to do good. The Sabbath's true call, it's supposed to reflect the God who saves, the God who settles debates, the God who stretches hope to all nations, to all people. Jesus knows, and they know deep in their hearts, that mercy does not rest even on the Sabbath. To show mercy is not a work that can ever be placed on hold. Let's just pause our mercy while we're going through the Sabbath. For mercy and to show mercy is to do good, because it is to show the reflection of God. Hear then what Jesus says to them and to us. He's saying this: don't treat your fellow man worse than you treat animals. The very animals that you would then butcher and then consume. Beloved, our brothers and sisters, our neighbors there, we are not commodities to be used, nor are we props to elevate my righteousness before you. Look at them. I know better than them. They are God's good creation. The Sabbath is to do good like God does good. Is to show mercy. These people are those that are given to us by God to show mercy, whether it's the Sabbath or not. In other words, Jesus is saying, more valuable than me animals, of course. However, this truth is too much for those who would hold too tightly onto their traditions. They will have none of it, but they shall also try and silence Jesus for it. You know the deal. It's not longer good anymore or acceptable in this society to just have a disagreement with the world. You can show the world holiness, the truth of God, and the world will not just say, okay, that's your opinion anymore. They will try to purposely silence you. Verse 14 is the example, isn't it? But the Pharisees, so after hearing all that, and great perfect logic from Jesus, the way he understood the Sabbath, being the Lord of the Sabbath. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. So what does the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lord of the Sabbath do on the Sabbath? He saves the broken. He saves. He doesn't stop with his mercy. He shows compassion and love. Verse 13, then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And as the man stretched it out, it was restored, healthy like the other. Have you got the scene in your mind? Picture the man with the withered hand. I'm always picturing myself there. His hand is withered. I've got a withered hand when I burnt my hand as a little baby. It's useless, but mine's useful, but it's a sign of brokenness. Everyone knows he needs healing. And he's in the middle of a debate. He's not even debating. He's the prop of the debate. He's in the middle of between the Lord of the Sabbath and the Pharisees. He must be thinking, I don't know if this Jesus can heal me. I don't know if Jesus will or he won't. Is he looking at the Pharisees to then Jesus, back to the Pharisees, like, do you stretch out your hand? Because as soon as he stretches out his hand, he's affiliating himself with Jesus and against the Pharisees. And so he's not physically impaired, not only physically impaired, he's already sidelined, he's unclean, he's broken, and he's perhaps shamed. You know what the people would have said? Dangerous goods. Did your mother or your father sin that you're like this? Did you sin? He's probably unable to work or worship fully. He's got to have this faith, doesn't he? Will Jesus heal me? It sounds like us, doesn't it? We're all broken. Who here is not broken? Who here is not scarred by sin? Who here does not carry a weight of guilt Sometimes you can't even partake of the Lord's Supper. It weighs you down. Sin, and it segregates you from God, from worship. You're chasing to become worthy. In one form or another, it's always in the back of your mind. You're just not good enough. You know, politicians, they may push fake care, and they don't heal. They're just doing it for influence or power or politicking. But Jesus, the great healer, sees this man's need. He doesn't ask, "Are you worthy, withered man? I know your hand is withered and all, but are you worthy? Do you deserve my healing?" He just says, "Stretch out your hand." This man needs to weigh up the cost. We all need to weigh up the cost of reaching out to Jesus. What if it must be plaguing him. What if he's a charlatan? You see them on TV, they claim to heal you, and they never do. He has to weigh up the cost of reaching out to Jesus. What if the Pharisees then further ostracize me? What happens if Jesus just can't? He just says he can, but he can't. What does it mean? Is it superstitious? Stretch out your hand. What does it mean? Again, he needs faith to stretch out his hand to Jesus with everyone watching. Verse 13, and the man stretched out his hand out, and it was healed. That's faith. That's a stretch, not a work. Faith to believe Jesus can heal me. Jesus can heal you. It's no mere physical fix. The Sabbath, God's gift of rest, is when the unclean and the broken stretch out to the Lord of the Sabbath, and they find salvation for their body and their soul. Jesus heals what's withered within all of us. Sin, sick hearts, shame, fear of condemnation. You see, it's not about rules here. What's happening here on the Sabbath in the synagogue, it's not about rules. This is God's hospital. It's where broken meet mercy. This healing, it declares that Jesus saves by grace and not through our own efforts. He calls us to stretch out to him, and he will heal you regardless of any man-made laws. Jesus will break the law to save you and heal you. What comfort. Aren't we all that man? Our brokenness, regrets, and the pride that we have, the failures, meets Jesus' Sabbath mercy. It tells us that Jesus cares for us, that we don't have to meet a standard. He just looks at us and says, on the Sabbath, whatever law, I will heal you. He's interested in your faith to stretch out your hand to him. He's not interested in the scoreboard of your law keeping. It's a call to stretch out in faith. And it's a promise that he will restore, making you whole with God's family. Don't you see what he's saying? Don't you see what it's showing us? Don't you see it? It's so clear. Salvation is received. It's not earned. It's something that we open our hearts to, that we stretch out our souls, and then it's received. The Sabbath then proclaims this very message. Jesus saves the broken right here, right now. And that, well, the Sabbath is what the Sabbath should proclaim. However, again, it's too much for those who hold on to it. It's too much for them. Verse 14, it's too much for them. Oh, they're going to just go out and conspire to destroy him. There's a time that the Pharisees could have just gone, "Oh, my yoke, it's so heavy, I'm going to take it off. Thank you, God, in Jesus, thank you." And said, "Nah, this guy needs to be destroyed." And this grace does more than settle synagogue debates. It doesn't stay in the synagogue in one day of the week. You don't see what it does. It flings open the door to all peoples, to all who would come by faith to the mercy of God revealed in Jesus Christ. He shall restore your broken souls, he's saying. It's Sabbath's mercy. You know what it does in the third element that we see here? The Sabbath mercy and the message, it stretches out to all nations. Now that Jesus knows the leaders of the Jews want to destroy him, Jesus will take his healing to all. See now in verse 14, but the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all. Look at the beautiful side of faith. It segregates. That's not the beauty of it, but the beauty is that whoever comes to Jesus in faith, all are healed. The Pharisees could have this. They could go to Jesus. You could have that if you just let go of those traditions that you hold so tightly to. Let go. And when Jesus says, come to him, that you would go. He will heal all of you. Verse 16, and he ordered them not to make him known. Verse 17, this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. Step back into the synagogue with me, will you? Just step back in there a moment. Jesus has just healed a man's withered hand. He's declared it to be lawful to do good on the Sabbath and sent the Pharisees into a fury. They want to destroy him. You think that the story ends there, but Matthew pulls back the curtain to show something staggering. This healing, this Sabbath mercy, isn't just for one man. Or one people. It's a beacon for the world. See how Matthew quotes Isaiah 42? Behold my servant. We read it so quickly, but we don't remember it's from the Old Testament, isn't it? Isaiah 42, if you're a Jew, is telling you the chosen servant is coming for you. Agree? It's the Old Testament. Matthew grabs it and fulfills its meaning. Behold, my servant, he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. And in his name, he doesn't say the Jews will have hope, the Gentiles will hope in the synagogue. Wow. Gentile folks. It's us, outsiders. It's going to be far from the synagogue. Now he's just saying, everyone's invited. Hope and justice through the chosen servant Jesus Christ will come to Gentiles, Jew and Gentile alike. And it's a scandal to the Pharisees. See, they're still clutching their rule books. They're still policing the Sabbath. Laws like bureaucrats with their mandates blind to human need. To them, God's kingdom is for the lawful, the insiders, those that are obeying Mishnah, the traditional laws. But Jesus' mercy, he shatters their laws. He stretches Sabbath hope to all people, to the Gentiles. Can you see what he's done, what Matthew is doing? He's saying, the Pharisees believe that this is only for God's people. The Old Testament, Isaiah 40:42, is just for God's people, the Jews. But Matthew's saying, the Sabbath has come. The Lord of the Sabbath, he declares the gospel is for all people. And so the Sabbath then, the idea, becomes like a microcosm of Jesus' mission, stretching what's broken from a withered hand to a divided world and offering hope beyond legalism. It's God's gift for all. It's not a Jewish exclusive. Jesus redefines Sabbath as a day of mercy, a foretaste of eternal rest, and it's secured by his cross work. Not by law keeping, but by faith. The one who fulfills the law in Jesus Christ. This truth shocked the Pharisees, and it should stir us up. The hope of all of God's people, Jew and Gentile alike, has come in the chosen Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus Christ. The Gentiles' hope is our call to action. And so therefore we need to evaluate, what is it that we do on the Sabbath? The Sabbath isn't just for us to rest, beloved. The Sabbath, it's a witness to the world, like a news reporter. The Sabbath proclaims God's mercy in the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus' healing grace stretches to all the earth. That's what we proclaim on the Lord's Sabbath. And Jesus shatters our expectations of God. It's not about rituals or rules, but a person and relationship in character with his character that reveals God. You see, Jesus, he didn't come to enforce law-keeping, but to unite believers to God, that he's the one perfecting us by grace to be righteous before God, but not by our works. I want you to know two things that the Sabbath does. The first one, what the Sabbath does for us. What the Sabbath does for us, beloved, is that it is a gift of God to pause from work and to rest and to worship. It reminds us to let go and trust God to provide and take care of all our needs. That's what it does for us. That's what it showcases. The second purpose is for the world. It's what does the Sabbath do for the world? You see, the Sabbath is a gospel broadcast. When the church rests, others see that we've stopped striving for salvation. We've stopped working, and we find rest in Jesus' finished work, and we celebrate it, and the watching world sees. So I want you to have this image as you think about the Sabbath. The Sabbath works like a news reporter. The Sabbath declares three truths: what God has done, is doing, and will do. The Sabbath says, this is what God has done. The work, the cross work of Jesus, is the reconciliation between God and man. It frees us from laboring for his favor. That's what Jesus has done. That's what the Sabbath is supposed to show. And it also shows what God is doing. Each Sabbath, the church gathers and it displays Christ's rest to a weary world. We remind each other, Gentile and Jew, that Jesus is contrite. He is lowly. That his yoke is light. And he calls us to come to him. And if we come to Jesus, we shall have rest and rest for our souls. That's what it currently does. It's supposed to broadcast that to the world. And the third thing that the Sabbath does is what God will do. Each Sabbath foreshadows the eternal rest that we in him, in Jesus Christ, will have, free from sin, from shame, guilt and death, a life that shall be eternal, eternally smelling the roses. The weekly Sabbath points to an eternal Sabbath with Jesus. And so I ask you, if you are yet to place your faith in Jesus, will you stretch out your hand to him? Even if the world around you will hate you for it, like you're breaking some kind of law, would you still reach out to him who promises to give you rest by healing your soul? Would you still reach out your hand to Jesus if it means being ostracized by the laws of the land? A new church, us, the beloved, I want to encourage you to let your Sabbath rest proclaim this gospel of Jesus Christ. Rest in Christ's mercy and stretch the hope that you have, not just in your family, but outside to all Gentiles, so to speak, to all nations, to all peoples. Let us live the Sabbath lives that report how Jesus, he saves the broken, he settles all debates, and stretches hope to all the world. Allow me to pray. I thank you, my Lord Jesus, for giving us your word. But since we're on topic, Lord, would we not thank you for giving us the gift of the Sabbath, Lord? The rest. Like the news reporter, my Lord, the Sabbath, it broadcasts what you have done in Jesus. What you are doing even right now in our lives, every week we gather. And what you will do when we are with Jesus. The eternal rest, smelling the roses with you, my Lord. To your greater glory, I pray this. Amen.